Introduction and Context for The Brothers Karamazov was presented by David Crabtree on August 2, 2010 at Gutenberg College's Summer Institute. The copyright for this recording is held by Gutenberg College, Inc., 2010. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
The Summer Institute is an almost annual event, and the purpose of the Summer Institute is to we pick a topic each year, and we explore that topic in a style that is similar to what we do in the Gutenberg curriculum. So it's a way of allowing a wider audience to have the opportunity to experience the kind of thing that we do in Gutenberg on a regular basis. The topic that we selected for this year is democracy, and my sense is that there is a renewed interest in that topic, how democracy works, how it should work, and what the problems are. Democracy is not a utopian form of government. It is realistic on the one hand, but on the other hand, there are lots of difficulties and challenges that come with this particular form of government. And it is not natural in the sense that it doesn't just happen. It's something that is actually high maintenance, and it's important to understand what kind of maintenance democracy requires. And so that's the impetus behind what we're doing. This is kind of a first step in the direction of the kind of education towards understanding the maintenance that democracy requires. The way that the Summer Institute works and the way that it will work this year is every day during the week we pick a topic, a subtopic that's related to the theme of the week. So we have divided it up into these subtopics. The first day is going to be a discussion of the purpose of life. You have to know what life is all about in order to think about what kind of government would foster that. The second day, Tuesday, we're going to talk about equality. In what sense are we equal? In what sense are we not equal? And democracy is based on the assumption of equality, but what kind of equality is it assuming? The third is, on Wednesday, it's a question of personal responsibility. To what extent are we responsible for ourselves? And to what extent are we responsible to others? Thursday, it's the weaknesses of democracy. Where can democracy go wrong? What are the problems that it poses? And Friday, so what do we do? Given that we live in a democratic society, given the issues that revolve around democracy, how do we conduct ourselves in this particular point in time, in this place, in history? So those are the subtopics that we will be talking about. The format each day will be the same. In the mornings, we will look at one of the great books readings that contributes to, in some way, to answers to the questions posed by the larger theme of the week. And on each day, the great books reading has been selected to address specifically the sub-question for that day. We will begin in the morning with a brief introduction to the reading that for that day. Then you will break up into groups, and we will discuss the great books reading assigned that day. And then after that discussion, we'll come back here. We'll come back here, right, Casey? Come back here, and there will be a more extended lecture on the content of the reading the Great Books reading that you've done. Then there's a break for lunch. After lunch, then, we will have a discussion of biblical passages. For each day, we have selected a number of biblical passages that in some way contribute to answering the sub-question for the day. And we will spend time in small groups discussing those passages. And then we will come back together here and have a lecture on the biblical perspective regarding that subtopic. Then, following that, there will be questions and answers. And I really encourage you to take a full advantage of the question and answer period. As you think of questions during the day that don't get answered, write them down. Be sure and remember them. And then ask those in the wider setting. And those can be, can those be wide ranging? Those can be fairly wide ranging. But we want you to ask the questions that you want to get answers to, the things that you want to explore. And if you will ask the questions that you really want to know the answers to, that will make for a lively discussion. That'll be fun. Okay, so that's the format that will follow each day this week. Is that clear? Any questions on that? Okay, let me just say a few words about the Brothers Karamazov. Okay, the Brothers Karamazov is a Russian novel. You can tell because it's long. It was written by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky was a Russian novelist in the 19th century. He was born in, I don't remember the date, it's like 1830s, I think, maybe 1820s. It's during a period of time when the novel as a genre was becoming popular and well-developed in Russia. And in the Russian mind, a novel really needs to serve a social purpose. Art has to serve a social purpose. And literature was the way that Russians explored social issues. They did so because censorship was tight, and to write an essay would be to get yourself into trouble. And so they developed the novel as a way of addressing social issues in a way that came in kind of through the back door and was therefore permissible with respect to censorship. So novels became a very highly developed art form that served a very important social purpose. The intelligentsia during the 19th century, throughout the 19th century, in Russia was socialistic. Almost all of them were socialists of one sort or another. That was in vogue, and most intellectuals bought into that and espoused that. Dostoevsky was no exception. As a young man, he was heavily influenced by socialistic thought, became involved with a reading group called the Petrushevsky, where they got together and talked about social issues in a small group. And the government became suspicious of the activities of this circle. And there was actually an assassination attempt. Oh, no, I'm sorry. There was a coup attempt about this time. And the new Tsar decided he was going to really crack down on all dissidents, and decided the Petrushevskys were dissidents, and many of them were arrested and interrogated, as was Dostoevsky. And he was, after interrogations, he was sentenced to be executed. At the last minute, the Tsar granted a reprieve, and instead of being executed, he was sent away to a prison camp in Siberia, where he spent a number of years. In the prison camps, Dostoevsky became a Christian. He had an intense religious experience. A lot of it was born out of watching the behavior of his fellow inmates. And he was shocked at the inhumanity that other human beings were exhibiting. And that sparked a religious conversion. He became a Christian and became politically conservative. He began to understand that socialism has a dark side to it, and having been immersed in that kind of thought, he really understood it quite well. So his novels, after he gets out of the prison camps and comes back to the warmer part of Russia, he starts writing works, and all of those works, in one way or another, are kind of exploring this issue of who is man, and why his propensity towards socialism, and what will that lead to. The Brothers Karamazov was the last novel that he wrote, and he intended in The Brothers Karamazov to kind of bring together all of the important themes that he had explored in his other novels, weave them into one novel. And so he viewed this as kind of his culminating work. Originally, I believe, he thought he would write 3 volumes, but as he got into it, he condensed that into 1 volume. And then he died not too long after. It was just a few months after Brothers Karamazov was published. The novel is about a family that is given over to debauchery. The father is just a miserable human being. Goes back and forth between being cruel and being a clown. Not to be emulated. And Dostoevsky sees him as kind of a... There's a lot of Russian-ness in the father of this family. He has three legitimate sons. One by his first mother and two by... One by his first wife and two by his second wife. And these sons all share... They are all Karamazovs. They all kind of share in their father's character to one degree or another. But they are all quite different. The oldest one, Dmitri, is very sensual. He's given over to... he wants to have fun. And is given over to that kind of thing. He's very passionate. The second one, Ivan, is very intellectual, interested in exploring all kinds of issues, thinking about all kinds of issues, and he is, in many respects, a typical Russian intellectual of the mid-1800s. And the third one is Alyosha. And Alyosha is the one who is spiritually inclined. So the book ends up being an exploration of these three individuals in particular. There are others involved as well, but these three individuals and whether or not they can come to redemption. Can they be redeemed, and if so, how? And the novel is an exploration of the redemption of these three. The sections that you read, the first is the Grand Inquisitor, is probably one of the most famous sections out of this novel. And it kind of stands alone. The Grand Inquisitor is a piece that, according as it fits into the novel, it was dreamed up by Ivan. Ivan likes to explore these kinds of issues, and so he came up with this little piece. And in the novel, he and Alyosha have been talking, and they've been exploring the issue of, Ivan has been saying, I can't accept the universe that God has created. There's just too much suffering here. Even children suffer. How is it possible to accept this kind of universe and accept that kind of God? And Ivan ends up posing the question, does it make any sense? Could we live in a world in which it would be possible for people to think that happiness could come from the suffering of one innocent one? And Alyosha kind of interrupts and says, well, what about Jesus? And Ivan says, exactly. Let me tell you a story. And launches into the Grand Inquisitor. So the issue is kind of, did Jesus bring happiness as part of what he's exploring there? So that's the Grand Inquisitor, and it poses a very difficult issue, I think, for Christianity as a whole, and certainly for the Christian Church. Then you read Book 6, which is about a monk, Zosima. Zosima is a monk in a monastery where Alyosha, the youngest one, the spiritually inclined Karamazov, has become a novice. And Zosima is his mentor. And Zosima is he's a bit of a maverick. If you read the whole novel, you can see that he doesn't exactly fit in the monastery. There are tensions within the monastery between different monks and different factions within that monastery. And Zosima is a little on the edge. But he is Alyosha's mentor, and Alyosha clearly looks up to him immensely. And so that book that you read is basically explaining who Zosima is. It tells about his life, and then it goes through his teachings. And that chapter is essentially Dostoevsky's response to the Grand Inquisitor. So these fit together. So those are the things that we'll be talking about, exploring, and then Tim will explain them all afterwards.